Radio MD.
RadioMD.com.
Your trainer, Melanie Cole, is here to motivate and help you perform. It's time now for Train Your Body.
Is obesity a disease? Do fat people, overweight people get discriminated against in the workplace and on airplanes and fitness clubs? You know, this is a very controversial and difficult subject, and my guest is Dr. Christopher Berger. He's the chairman of the ACSM Task Force on Healthy Air Travel in the Department of Kinesiology at the University of Indianapolis as well. So, Dr. Berger, first of all, do we classify obesity as a disease?
Well, as scientists, we do. When you think about a disease, then that's something that requires treatment, and we make a lot of efforts these days to treat this disease of obesity. So I think from a scientific perspective, yeah, I think we do classify it as a disease.
And if it was a disease, and you look at somebody who's got cancer, and you look at somebody who's in a wheelchair, and nobody would think twice to make fun of them, they may get discriminated against in the workplace. You know, someone with cancer may not get hired. They might not get told that's the reason, but because the employer's worried about medical costs. In that case, do you think we're discriminating in all of these different places against people who are overweight because of the medical costs or the additional, you know, weight on an airplane, whatever it may be?
Well, that's a tougher question to answer because it depends on who you read. But if you take a look at some of the recent research that's been published on, you know, being discriminated against because of your body weight in the medical system, answer seems to be no. It doesn't seem to be the case that physicians or nurses or anybody in the health sciences really treats people who are overweight any differently than they treat people who have a lower body mass index. But if you take a look at the media, or you take a look at educational systems, or you take a look at the workplace, there is some evidence that suggests that we do discriminate against people on the basis of body size. We tend to objectify large people. We tend to look at their bodies rather than personalities or thought processes and things like that. So I hate to hedge in answering that question, but in some quarters we do discriminate, in some quarters we don't. It's unfortunate when we do.
Well, and I'm kind of right there with you. And personally, in my opinion, when I see an overweight person, being a trainer myself, I feel sorry for them. I wonder how they got to that place, but yet I know because I grew up in a family of pretty overweight people, and my mother and a couple of sisters, and I feel bad for them. And yet I think to myself sometimes, well, there are things out there that they can do. But now you're right, because in the media, like for example, the South Carolina's Department of Health and Human Services said obesity itself cannot be considered an illness. The most common cause is caloric intake. And by saying that, they're saying it's your fault. And that's the Health and Human Services Department in South Carolina.
And then on the flip side of that, you've got school districts that want to put body mass index on the report card. And so we're kind of sending a mixed message, I think, as public health professionals in terms of what people should do with respect to this problem of obesity and overweight. And that's unfortunate. I want to address the point that you made about, you know, your perspective on the overweight. I think sometimes those of us who go through, you know, school and we participate in athletics, our whole world becomes, you know, we see it in terms of athleticism and personal fitness. And, you know, you got to understand if you're in this business that a lot of times that's not the way that people see things. That's not the objective that other people have. Some people just want to be more functional. And some people just want to be happy with their bodies. And I think that there really is some nice compromise between trainers and between the general public in terms of how to address this. And one of the things that I think needs to happen is that we need to improve our communication with each other. Trainers need to do a better job of listening to what their clients' goals are so that they can be more helpful. And I think clients need to do a better job of being honest and articulating what it is that they want to do and being willing to listen to the trainer's expertise. So I think it's a give and take here, and it always boils down to effective communication.
I completely agree with you, and it does need to be communicated on both sides. And what do you think? I mean, there's a fat rights movement out there, and we're going to talk about being fit and fat, but in the fat rights movement, they're saying, you know, we shouldn't be discriminated against, and they shouldn't be. And on the other end of the coin, people are saying, but they're costing us extra money. On airplanes, they need two seats, right. or I feel all squished in, people are saying. They're costing health care, heart disease, blood pressure, you know, even our children. What do you say to that?
Yeah. Well, I mean, I totally understand. You know, there's a part of me that looks at my city and I think, gosh, I wish I had more bike paths, and I wish there was a safe way for me to walk to the grocery store, because I don't even have a sidewalk in my neighborhood. And so I'm thinking, well, gosh, with all the money that we spend on this obesity epidemic and this disease of obesity, why can't we put some more money to me? You know, why can't I have a bike path, and why can't I have sidewalks in my neighborhood? But I think when you start to look at some of the fat rights movement groups and look at some of the things that what they really want to do, again, I think it boils down to communication, of course, but I think it's also a matter of personal respect. We'll get to, can you be fat and fit? But I think if you just approach your brother and sister, or you approach your neighbor from the standpoint that, yeah, they're in this condition, they're overweight, they're overfat, but I can still be respectful of their situation, then, in my opinion, you can be a little bit more helpful. There's just give and take across the board, and we have to get used to functioning that way as a society, I think.
Is it possible to be fat and fit? And I'm not talking about 5 or 10 pounds overweight. I'm talking about pretty much overweight. Is it possible to work out and have perfectly fine blood pressure and not much risk of heart disease and still be somebody who's carrying an extra 40, 50 pounds?
Well, you're pushing the limits on that, but okay. physiologically speaking, the answer to the question, can you be fit and fat? The answer is yes. And this came to me very graphically a few years ago. I went to a marathon in Seattle, Washington, and I watched at about the four-hour mark. I watched people cross the marathon line about 4 hours, and that's a pretty respectable time to complete a marathon, and I was really surprised at who crossed that line in under 4 hours. There were people that, you know, you and I would take a look at, and we would think they were way too fat. You know, they were just too big. So if you can do a 4-hour marathon or sub 4-hour marathon, you got the aerobic capacity to do that, and you got a few extra pounds on you, it's clearly the case that you can be fat and fit in that context. When you think about the fact that there are lots of ways that we can, you know, describe and define a person's physical fitness, the answer is it's absolutely the case. You can be strong, you have muscular fitness, you can have a decent aerobic capacity, and you can still have a few extra pounds. Whether or not that's consistent with how people want to look and the body image they want to convey is a different story. And I think that's where this gets so interesting, because people's body image and their perception of themselves and their perception of how society perceives them gets all rolled up into this issue of overweight, obesity, and physical fitness. And again, I think it's really important for trainers to be aware of that sort of thing.
Well, that is interesting, and it's a great way to look at it. And of course, there is that link. You know, you can be fit and work out and strength train and get your cardiovascular in shape, but until you control what you're intaking and your nutrition and your food, and that sometimes is truly the hardest part. You might be somebody who really loves exercise and loves the way it feels in yoga, but until it comes together, and we've both seen it, how difficult it is to sometimes bring those two things together to make them a whole part of a lifestyle.
And I think that is so true. And the thing that I always tell people in that regard is I think that's why diets work when they work. Because even if you're on a diet, you know, quote-unquote diet for like a week or so, you have that temporary feeling of self-control, don't you? You get that temporary feeling of you're in charge of what you're eating. You're in charge of your exercise habits. And, you know, it may only last a week or two. But I think that when people have a sense of control over their bodies and a sense of control over how they eat, I don't think it makes a difference whether you're lean or you're fat. That's a good feeling to have. And so it's almost like you can address the issue of body mass index and body fat independent of all that stuff. So if you can give people a sense of control over how they spend their time in the weight room or how they what they put on their plates, well, gosh, I mean, I think that's an improvement right there.
It certainly is. You are listening to Train Your Body, Motivate and Perform with the American College of Sports Medicine. You know, you can always send me an email, melanie@radiomd.com, to weigh in on the issue of fat rights. This is Melanie Cole for Train Your Body and Radio MD. Stay well.